You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Friday, November 20th, and it's time to get you ready for Steelers versus Jaguars. We've got a full preview as well as picking all the games this week and get you updated with all the injury news right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. And joining me is Jenna Harner from WPXI TV, our regular Friday guest. It's going to be a fun show with her as always. Remember, if you're liking the show, please subscribe to us. We're on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere podcasts are hosted. Also, if you can, rate us 5 stars with a positive comment. Doing so gets you a shout out at the end of the show. We will have a shout out today for one of our latest 5-star reviews. Thanks again for listening to the Locked On Podcast Network as a whole. Remember to check out the Crossover Thursday from yesterday. And today's episode is brought to you by Pepsi.
This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. I like to watch this season when I'm going over game footage to see how TJ Watt gets a lot of his sacks. When I do, I like to drink a nice cold Pepsi. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through your game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi.
Let's get into it. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. It's Friday. We made it to the end of the week, and it's Jaguars week. It's weird to say that, but Steelers fans, y'all know that's been a stressor for you. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But when I say we, it's not just me. It's our friend, our comrade, one of the best sports reporters in Pittsburgh, Jenna Harner from WPXI TV, Channel 11 here in Pittsburgh. Jenna, welcome back to the show. How you been?
I've been good. It's been a good week. It's been a busy week. I feel like that intro, my goodness, thank you. That's so sweet of you. But you know, we're having fun. Hey, the Steelers remain undefeated. Every week is a good week right now.
Every week is a good week, especially for Steelers fans right now. Of course, the stress levels, you know, increase with every win because then you're like, okay, does this mean? Are they going there? But let's ease the tensions a little bit because we got some good news, and that's the injury report that came out on Thursday. Now, do keep an eye for Friday because there can always be changes. But by and large, Jenna, we got good reports here. Ben Roethlisberger, full practice. Juju Smith-Schuster, full practice. Anthony McFarlane, who had the illness last week, he's full practice the entire week. Mike Hilton, who's missed the past several games with a shoulder injury, full practice all week. Derek Watt isn't anywhere to be found on this injury report. Isaiah Bugs, who didn't practice on Wednesday, did practice in full on Thursday. But it looks like everybody, the only people who haven't practiced were Trey Edmonds, Jalen Samuels, and Jayrone Elliott, all more so guys that help on special teams and kind of get replaced. Jenna, that's as good as a report as you could really hope for from Steeler Nation.
Absolutely. And to look at where they are in the season right now, remember, they really didn't even have that real, true, quote-unquote bye week that so many teams right now were seeing. The Chiefs just coming off their bye week, the Bills going into their bye week. This is the area usually of the season where teams look to rest. And it's a nice thing, knock on wood, that the Steelers remain healthy as they kind of continue this stretch here, because there's no bye week for them, I mean, until possibly pending if they get the number one seed and if no games are canceled. So right, we won't go there quite yet. But right now, I mean, things are looking good. This is probably, knock on wood, about the best thing that you can ask for these Steelers right now, to see that there's no major issues or causes of concern at the moment. And again, I keep saying knock on wood because things can change.
Things certainly can change, and they have changed for the Steelers as the season has continued. But right now, this is as good as a feeling as you could probably have. This means Mike Hilton will be back with Cam Sutton. They'll probably use them a little bit more. You'll have the full complement of the defensive line minus Chris Wormley, who isn't back from IR yet, but they're hopeful that he does get back soon. But with Bugs and Alualu, now the Steelers at least have another set of interior defensive linemen to back up Tuitt and Hayward. And then Henry Mondo is still just that fifth option behind them. So more flexibility on the defense, really good sign. The offensive line's good to go. The receivers are good to go. Ben's good to go. All that's good. Now, speaking of Ben, before we toss to our first break, I wanted to talk about a comment that he made saying how he knows they always have problems with the Jaguars. And since he's played the Jaguars, he's 5-5 against them in his career. Under Mike Tomlin, the Steelers are 4-4. And it's weird to think about this, but the Steelers have never beaten them by more than a single possession. And Jenna, when I looked it up, because I was gonna include this in something I wrote for DKPittsburghSports.com, where at any time you can subscribe for $4.99 a month or $39.99 a year. But I was looking this up. They've never lost on the road in Jacksonville under Mike Tomlin. It's the weirdest sports relationship I've seen.
It is wild. And I was doing a deep dive the other night of these stats, just looking at it, trying to see, because I know, obviously, coming here, all the talk of, you know, oh, the Jags are a tough team to play against for Ben and the Steelers offense. And just looking at the history with this series, with Ben playing, it's just – there's so many things that you can pinpoint. Like you said, they've never won a game. The biggest game that they won against the Jets – they're the biggest, I guess, spread – they beat them in 2014, 17-9. That was the biggest win. 17-9. That, I mean, and Ben acknowledged this week, too, when he was talking about this, you know, different teams. Obviously, this Jaguars team, I think, is a lot different than teams they've seen in the past. But, like, that does have to sit on his mind a little bit. I mean, and he admitted it, too. He's like, yeah, you know, I don't call it extra motivation, whatever, if you will. But, like, he's like, I don't play well against these guys. We got to figure something out.
It's been an odd, you know, back and forth, because like you said, over the years, the Jaguars have been different things in the NFL. Back when the Steelers last won a Super Bowl, they went into Jacksonville in 2008, and it was a slugfest. I think it was Marcus Stroud was the defensive tackle back then, and they had the guy who was slapping his face before every game. And and like Ben Roethlisberger, I remember he threw a huge pass towards the end of the game where a guy was hanging on to him, and Hines Ward had to catch it over the middle, and it's just like, that was a game where you felt the Steelers should have controlled, but then they still eked it out. And then you had games in the 2017 when the Jaguars beat them twice, where the Jaguars ran over them in the fourth quarter and forced five turnovers from Ben Roethlisberger, and then did even more damage in that playoff game. It's such an odd thing, and it's also worthy of note, the Jaguars have beaten the Steelers twice at Heinz Field in the playoff under Mike Tomlin, his first year in 2007, with David Gerrard, and then of course, if you just, what was it, 3 years ago, with Blake Bortles, it's just a crazy history. But it's something that I think the Steelers, they've kind of shown this year, and I think this will be a good obstacle for them to hurdle if they get this done right, because this year they've talked about how they're just focused on the next game, they're focused on the next challenge. This is a thing where a lot of intangibles have added up poorly for them against the Jaguars. And if they're able to overcome this week, it's another thing that they can say, you know what, that team used to give us troubles. They didn't this time.
It's kind of that perfect, you know, situation where a game where they can get this monkey off of their back. And it was kind of funny. I mean, all week we heard, you know, Mike Tomlin talk about how this, you know, we do not play into the notion of trap games. And then on Thursday we heard from Minkah Fitzpatrick saying, you know, I asked him what the biggest challenge is. And he talked about, you know, they can't let the rookie quarterback get comfortable. They can't, kind of hinting at the fact that they can't do what they did against Dallas against this Jaguars team, because it feels, I mean, just looking at like a bare bones level, if you look at the storylines of rookie quarterback, the team that heavily relies on the run game, those two, the Jacksonville and Dallas, do kind of seem similar in that sense.
No, I agree. There's some interesting factors here. We'll get into the matchup talk in the third segment of the podcast. We're going to throw it to a break. We come back, as always, we do our picks around the NFL. Jen and I are going to give you our picks for who's going to win each game after this. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. Sometimes I like to watch this season with a cold Pepsi when Ben Roethlisberger is throwing one of those touchdowns that he's thrown several times this year. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host Chris Carter, here with Jenna Harner, WPXI TV here in Pittsburgh. Jenna, it's time to pick games, and we got a lot of good ones this week. We got a lot of really good matchups, teams that are competing for playoff spots. And the first one we're going to go to is one that I think a lot of Steelers fans will be glancing over to their phones or their laptops or wherever they're keeping scores of during the Steelers-Jaguars game, because the 6-3 Titans are playing the 6-3 Ravens. Jenna, both of these teams started out on fire this season, but they've come into troubles the last few weeks. Of course, the Ravens losing to the Steelers, both of them lost to the Steelers, but then they both lost some games that were a little bit questionable. The Titans losing a game to the Bengals, the Ravens losing a game to the Patriots. This is an interesting kind of turning point. If the Ravens lose this game, they're in a situation where they might have to win out to be able to have a shot at the division, because then if they lose this game and the Steelers win, they will be four games behind the Steelers, and they've already lost one game to the Steelers. This is going to put them in a tough spot. Where do you see this game playing out? Because the Titans also have their own playoff chase to worry about. Who do you think has an advantage in this game?
I think I like Baltimore in this game. You look at the New England game and you kind of see the ending of that, especially with the rain coming down as hard as it did. I had to chuckle. I saw on Twitter, it was like, of course, Belichick controls the weather at this point, because that was insane. It was just incredible. Of course it's going to happen on a potential game-winning drive for the Ravens. Look, I think the Ravens are banged up. I think they're injured, but I think that they're still a better team than the Titans are right now. And we saw Cincinnati, of all teams, kind of expose the Titans a little bit. It's still going to be a solid matchup for sure, but I just kind of like what Baltimore has. I think they have a little bit more anger kind of bouncing back after this New England loss. And again, we think we have to remember too, like, obviously New England is not a good team this year, but at the end of the day, they always have that their New England factor that I think plays into it a little bit. Baltimore and New England also can always have that thing. So I think they'll bounce back from this one, but I think it'll still be a really solid game.
I think it's going to be a fun one to watch. Most Steelers fans won't be able to watch it, but I think it'll go down to the wire. But I agree with you. I think the Ravens being at home, you know, being this, I think this is much more of a do or die situation for them. You know, you got, yeah, the Titans have to worry about the Colts, but the Titans, I can see them slipping in as a late round, as a lower seed. But the Ravens aren't just being chased by the aren't chasing the Steelers. They're being chased by the Browns, who are also 6-3. And yes, the Ravens beat up on the Browns earlier, but this is a game for me they cannot afford to lose. And the Titans, they can give some ground and make it up later. So I'm going with the Ravens, desperation factor there. And I think Lamar Jackson at home is a little bit more of a threat to the Ravens. Moving forward, we got a battle of the Cats, the blue and silver Cats to be more accurate. We got the Lions at 4-5, at the Panthers at 3-7. The Panthers have been an interesting team. I mean, both of these teams have been interesting, Jenna. I can't figure out who's good, who's not, you know, on these teams. But, you know, the Lions, they're 4-5. And I'm like, wait, they are 4-5? And I don't know how they got there.
You look at that and you're like, wait a second, really? I'm completely with you. These are two teams, I think, for the most part, you have a lot of teams in the NFL who you've kind of figured out their identity, or at least kind of know what they bring to the table. You know who's at least decently good, who isn't. These two teams, I'm like, are they kind of solid? Are they not? Are the Lions okay? I kind of have to go Detroit in this one. I think that, again, they have some good things that they are piecing together. It is also really interesting that last week the whole story about Matt Patricia came out, how a lot of the players have kind of vocalized that they're not a fan of his leadership style. So I think that was interesting as well. But, again, that happens when you're losing. When a team is winning and putting things together, I want to double-check and see what happened to them last week, just to make sure. I started typing last week instead of Lions.
They almost gave up a huge lead. Well, they did get – they got tied by Washington late. They had a big lead.
That's right.
Yeah, and then – but then they were able to pull it out. DeAndre Swift has been an emerging factor for them, and that was a guy that a lot of people pegged as maybe the best running back going into this last NFL draft. I'm interested in how he's going to factor into this game, because the Lions haven't been good at stopping the run themselves, and Mike Davis is backing up Christian McCaffrey, who's out again this week. So I'm with you. I'm going with the Lions, but this is one of those coin flip games. I wouldn't put any money down on this game.
No, this could go either way for sure. And it's just, I kind of like, I'm going with the Lions just because, again, Swift, what we've seen him do, he's piecing together a really solid season.
He really is. Now, let's move on to another matchup here, interconference here. The Philadelphia Eagles at the Cleveland Browns, two places that hate Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and Cleveland. The Eagles are 3-5-1. The Browns are 6-3. Eagles, you know, it's crazy that they're still in first place of their division, but they are. But they do gotta they gotta start winning soon, Jenna, because you know eventually someone's gonna get more than three wins. I think I hope in the NFC East. But I don't know. The Browns, I like what Nick Chubb's back, so now they're going to have the 1-2 punch of him and Kareem Hunt. I'm sticking with the Browns because they're at home and they got that run game to depend on. I don't know. Something about the Eagles makes me weary about this game.
Yeah, this is one of those ones. I think I'm looking at it, too, is like I did. The Giants did beat the Eagles last week, which, again, what is the NFC East at this point? Like, just any of those teams could win because they're all that bad, but yep. They're all that bad equally across the board. The Browns game against the Texans though last week, the fact that it was 3-0 Cleveland until the fourth quarter give me a little bit of pause here, because I don't think Philly's not great, but I don't think that they're the best of the worst in that sense, I guess. So I mean, they're not a team, they do have some solid pieces, but I just think if the Browns can get that run game going with Chubb and Hunt, kind of the tandem 1-2 punch there, I think this should be Cleveland's game. But again, this could be a game where we see Carson Wentz do things. He also has not been playing great, but I mean, you never know with these teams. You never know with a team like the Eagles. They could show up and all of a sudden be like, oh, wait, did the Eagles really win that game?
So, just to be clear, who are you going with in this game?
I'm going with Cleveland, but this is another one I wouldn't be definite to put money on by any means.
Yeah, this one's tough. And this is another mixed bag game. The 4-5 Patriots at the 2-7 Texans. Deshaun Watson versus Cam Newton, two big names there. But I the way the Patriots eked out that win against Baltimore was made you think, okay, maybe they can do that some more. But, you know, the Texans, they still have J.J. Watt. They still have Deshaun Watson. You know, maybe they can pull out. I don't know. I feel like the Patriots still have enough guns to take down the Texans. But I think this is going to be a weird and, you know, quirky game with how these points are going to come about.
Yeah, weird and wonky for sure. This might be almost like a defensive game, but also, again, the Texans defense, obviously, with J.J. Watt is what it is. It's very solid in that sense, or at least from his point. But I think I'm going with New England in this one just because that win against Baltimore kind of gave them a lot of confidence for sure. They almost – I mean, they were potentially – Cam Newton was leading them on a potential game-winning drive when he fumbled to lose the game to Buffalo. So they have had some – good sort of ish spurts in the last couple weeks. And I just think that the Texans just have a whole lot to figure out. Again, obviously Watson is a fantastic player, but doesn't have a ton of pieces around him. Again, so Cam Newton doesn't have a ton of pieces around him either, but I think that I'm going with the Patriots in this one.
I'm going with the Patriots as well. I just, it's a mixed bag of things here. But you know, I just think that, yeah, their defense and Cam Newton will be able to do enough to eke out the Texans. Let's go to an NFC South matchup. This is a rivalry, but hasn't been too huge of a rivalry this year because of the Falcons' struggles. But the 3-6 Falcons visit the 7-2 Saints. This is one that I'd be confident picking because I just think the Saints, they're too good of a team to let this one drop from their schedule.
Yeah, absolutely. And even with Drew Brees sidelined this week, I think that you're still going to see solid things from the Saints team. We didn't really know who they were at the start of the season, even with Drew Brees at the helm. And I think they've kind of pieced some things together really well. Alvin Kamara has been playing, I'm pretty sure, pretty well as of late. Is Michael Thomas back? I believe he is.
Yes, he is. Again, yeah, Michael Thomas is back.
Yeah, Michael Thomas is back. There's your answer.
Yeah, I like it. Even with Jameis Winston starting, I just think that the Saints got way too much going for them. I think he even might open up that deep passing game a little bit more than Drew Brees was, and that's going to be a big factor for them. So we both like the Saints there. Now we go to a game with two-win teams, the 2-6-1 Bengals at the 2-7 Washington football team. And I don't know.
This is hard. I think this is the hardest game out of all of the games to pick. I think the line when I last looked was Washington by 1.5. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I like the storylines here. Alex Smith making the start for the Washington football team. The Bengals, Joe Burrow still trying to figure out who they are. Coming off, obviously, the loss to the Steelers. It's kind of a toss-up for me here. I feel like I just have to go Cincinnati because I think that if you're Joe Burrow and if you're that offense, you learned a lot from last week's Steelers game. And it was interesting hearing that some of the perspective he said after the game where he's like, okay, actually this was after he played the Ravens and the Browns, but he kind of was like, okay, I got a look. I understand what they're throwing at me. Like, he is still so new. He is still kind of not understanding defenses and schemes. And every game I feel like he plays, he does gain a little bit more knowledge. And since they're just so evenly matched, I don't know, I feel like I'm going Cincy in this one. I think I can see them having a bounce back just because Washington, I don't know, I feel like Cincinnati overall has more strength in terms of the playmakers that they have compared to Washington. But, you know, Washington's pass defense is also the number one pass defense, which I looked at. I first was like, how? And then I looked at the teams that they played, and I'm like, well, they played teams with terrible quarterbacks. So there's part of your answer there. But, yeah, I'm going Cincy.
I'm going with Washington. I like what their defense does. Chase Young's been bringing the heat on some people. And I think that's going to be the problem that the Bengals run into also with Alex Smith. He threw for the most career yards that he has in his entire career last week. And I like what Antonio Gibson brings to that offense, Terry McLaurin. I think that's enough to beat the Bengals here. Also, another interesting storyline. This is the number one overall pick versus the number two overall pick, Joe Burrow and Chase Young. So I think there's some little bit of, you know, some trash talking that goes on here. But ultimately, I see Washington pulling this out because of its defense late. So there's our first split of the week. But here's a 4 o'clock game that I think it may look – to some people it may look like a mixed bag, but to me this is a game where if you do a Survivor League, this would be a good game to pick. The 6-3 Dolphins at the 3-6 Broncos. Drew Lock almost pretty much all but fell apart last week. And this is a Dolphins defense with two cornerbacks that have been playing really well. Brian Flores seems to have this team coached up. I like what the Dolphins are putting together. I'm picking them to win this week.
I'm with you on that. Who would have thought that we would have been talking about the Dolphins at this point in the season? But, but Tua, he seems like he's the guy. If he wins on Sunday against the Broncos, he will be the first rookie quarterback since none other than Ben Roethlisberger to win their first 4 career starts. Obviously, everybody knows what happened Ben's rookie season when he's made all those starts. So, but I like what Miami's been piecing together. They really seem to be buying into, obviously, Tua. That defense has been really fun to watch. And again, like you said, Drew Lock and the Broncos just haven't been really doing anything spectacular as of late. So yeah, I mean, the Dolphins, it's funny, there's even some conversation that the Dolphins might kind of be potentially chasing the Bills a little bit for that top spot in the AFC East. So, you know, hey, we'll see.
I mean, they're a game behind them right now. And I think it's going to be an interesting chase down the line. We'll keep an eye on that AFC East race. Now, two teams from the AFC East and the AFC West that people care even less about. It's the 0-9 Jets at the 2-7 Chargers. I mean, who cares? I'm just going to pick the Chargers just because.
It's the Chargers. The Jets are the Jets. It's all you need about that one.
Yeah, we don't even spend time on that. But now, here's a good game. I'd even venture to say a very good game. 7-2 Packers as a 6-3 Colts. The Colts defense has been tough this year. But now they face Aaron Rodgers. I like what Aaron Rodgers has going on for him this year. I also think the Packers defense is underrated. Za'Darius Smith is bringing that heat. They've got Jair Alexander. They do some things well on defense that I think is going to be enough to give Phillip Rivers problems in the ways that he can't overcome, but Aaron Rodgers overcome what the Colts bring him on defense.
Yeah, no, that was exactly where I was going with that one, too. I'm going Green Bay strictly because you look at the quarterback matchup, and I'm taking Aaron Rodgers over Phillip Rivers every day. Is the Colts defense probably a notch higher than the Packers defense? I'd say so. We've seen what they were able to do, especially they really impressed me against the Titans in that game. There are going to be turnovers, but I think they're going to be turnovers by both quarterbacks, and I think Green Bay is going to have the slight edge either by one or two in that turnover battle, and that's what's going to do it for them.
I hear you there. Last 4 o'clocker here, Cowboys 2-7 at the 4-5 Vikings. I'm going with the Vikings because they still got Dalvin Cook, and I think that that's going to be the driving force that gets their offense going. The Cowboys, they're still trying to figure out way too much.
I agree with you on that one. I think the Vikings are a little bit better than people have them pegged at this season. I don't think, again, they're, you know, fantastic or more above average than anything. But again, we saw them beat the Packers. They have a lot of things they can do. And obviously Dalvin Cook, he didn't have a huge week last week. And so I think I definitely expect him to go off against the Cowboys.
All right. Now we get to our night games here. And these are going to be two fun ones. We got the Chiefs 8-1 at the 6-3 Raiders. Chiefs lost. Their only loss is to the Raiders right now. And now they're in the Raiders' house. But the Raiders also have been ravaged by COVID. They had a lot of contact tracing and defensive players that were out, and there's a lot of questions up in the air about what's going to happen with this game. I think that this revenge game and it times up too well with what the Raiders with what the Raiders are going through, and I think the Chiefs win it. But Jenna, do you think there's any way the Raiders could sneak in a sweep over the Chiefs, which would be an insane storyline I never thought would happen in 2020?
But again, it's 2020, so that would be the exact reason why it would. Now, I'm not saying it would, because I think, like you said, this COVID perfect storm of a situation for the Chiefs in that sense, I think that it's just going to be too much. Not only, I think I've read all of Vegas's defensive line is currently on the COVID list, and that's just through contact tracing. They do expect that if they all continue to test negative, they will get them back. But those guys aren't having a week of practice. And I think for a quarterback, like we saw with Ben Roethlisberger, that isn't the worst thing in the world, especially if you're a veteran like he is. But for a defense where you're putting in game plans, you're scheming, you're walking through, you're figuring it all out, I think that hinders them a little bit. And also, yeah, you're going up against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, who are coming off of a bye. Yeah. I think this is just too perfect of a storm for the Chiefs, and I think they win this one. But it's going to be a good game, so hey, who knows?
I think it's going to be fun. Now, this might be – I struggle with putting this as the game of the week because Cardinals Seahawks on Thursday night is great. Titans Ravens, at 1 o'clock is great. But Monday Night Football, we got a good one. It's the 6-3 Rams at the 7-3 Buccaneers. Two teams that have a lot of prowess to them, that people are excited about their defenses, and you know, people are looking to see who's going to step up in the NFC and take control. I've got the Rams in this one, Jenna, particularly because Aaron Donald's going to be there and he's going to be working. But also, I think Jalen Ramsey, who he is a lockdown corner, he's been doing it consistently. I think he creates some problems for Tom Brady in this game. And you're going to see this Rams team do just enough to get over the top on the Buccaneers. But I do think this is going to be a slugfest. I think it's going to be a shootout at times. You're going to see some big plays on both sides of the ball. I just think that the Rams, with the way the Buccaneers have played, like, yes, they beat the Panthers last week handily, but I'm still not convinced that they have fully recovered from the way they lost to the Saints and the way that they barely beat the Giants the week before that.
Yeah, I think those two games were that real tell of where Tampa Bay's weaknesses were this season, and I think we saw both teams exploit that. I mean, the Rams are kind of still, I don't want to say entirely hard to figure out, but they show flashes of really good, like when they played and won against the Bears. And then they show flashes of what happened against the Dolphins. But again, I think them beating the Seahawks too last week was a big thing for them. And just kind of gaining that momentum, keeping it rolling. And I think I look at it like you kind of said with Aaron Donald. I think Aaron Donald wants to get to Tom Brady. Of course, who doesn't? If you're a guy that, you know, if you're a guy in defense, you want to sack Tom Brady. He's the quarterback you want to get to, along with probably Patrick Mahomes too. But Tom Brady more than I think a lot of people would. I think Tom Brady's the top quarterback you want to get to. You want to sack if you're a defensive end or defensive lineman. So, yeah, I'm picking the Rams in this one. I do think we're going to see a lot of splash plays, but I think LA just kind of has that slight edge here.
Yeah, I think I'm right with you there. I think, but either way, I think it's going to be exciting to watch. That one we will be able to watch because it's not on Sunday. Now, we're going to take one more quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about that Steelers game on Sunday. A couple top matchups for you to consider and our final score predictions right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, here joined by Jenna Harner of WPXI TV. Jenna, it is time to talk Steelers-Jaguars. Now, We talked about the history and all that, but throw all that out. That's not what we football people do. We focus on the here and now. You know, this That's is right. you know, we don't care about the history doesn't matter. All that matters is the X and O's and the dudes that is on the field. Now, Jenna, there's some interesting factors to this Jaguars team that people might overlook. And I talked with Anthony Wiggins, who runs the Locked On Jaguars podcast yesterday. James Robinson has been a pleasant surprise for Jaguars fans at the running back position, enough to give them excitement, but not enough to ruin their draft prospects because Anthony even told me, he was like, listen, man, we're hoping for losses every single week. We were actually mad at them when they won in week one. But you know, Jake Luton's come in and they have another young quarterback that nobody knew about coming in and making plays here and there. And DJ Chark's really come up for them this year. You look at this Jaguars team, Jenna. What are the things that interest you the most, and what are the things that make you say, okay, this is where they are exploitable?
I think Jake Luton is just so intriguing. Obviously, Gardner Minshew is not going to be playing in this game. Doug Marrone said, I believe, on Tuesday that he's still going to work and throw in practice, but he's not going to be ready for this game. So this is that situation. Again, this feels too similar to Dallas to me, just in terms of treetops, if you're looking at things that way, where you have a no-name or, you know, a rookie quarterback that no one really knew who he was. Luton's a sixth-round pick, I believe, from this year's draft, Oregon State guy. You know, but he's looked not awful in the two games that he's played. He's kept them in the game, and that's been something I think a lot of Jacksonville people haven't entirely, or excuse me, a lot of outside people haven't paid entirely attention to when they're looking at this Jaguars team. I'm going to pull up, I just want to make sure that I'm not misquoting. I can spell Jacksonville. Give me 1 second, Jacksonville. There we go. Just trying to pull up the schedule so that I am not.
No, you're fine. You're fine. No, but I think you make some good points. Luton's come in and they found different ways to play. With Gardner Minshew, he was a guy last year who everyone was like, who is this guy? And then he was throwing touchdowns and making plays. DJ Chark still made some plays with Luton last week.
Yeah, and I mean, they were in the game against the Packers, and they were in the game against the Texans. The Texans game was a two-point game, really, really back and forth, and we kind of saw them do some good things against the Packers, too. So I don't entirely want to say that this is a team to underestimate, but I do think they can bring a lot to the table. But I think when you look at this matchup overall, again, this is a Steelers matchup that they should win and should win handily. But we know how those go.
Yeah, we've said that a lot this season when it hasn't happened. And it has happened. We saw it last week with the Bengals. We saw it with the Browns. They've handled their business at times. I think another thing to look out for are two linebackers. They got Miles Jack and Joe Schubert. And Steelers fans remember Joe Schubert from the Browns. He was their best linebacker last year. And, you know, those are the two guys that I think can hold the defense together and give Ben Roethlisberger problems. But this is a team that back when they were putting up more of a fight against the Steelers, it was Jalen Ramsey on the outside. They don't got him anymore. A.J. Bouye's gone. This is a chance for the Steelers wide receivers to really show up. And I know people are saying, well, the ground game's got to come back sometime. We need to run the ball. But guess what? This Jaguars secondary is hurting. This is a time for Ben Roethlisberger to say, hey, you know, all those times that I barely beat this team, let me show you how to really – I can really beat this team. I think that's another way to attack this team.
Yeah, especially you said that what are you circling as the area of exploitation. I think that's definitely it. This should be a game. Ben should have success in the air with his receivers in this game, just because I don't think Jacksonville's secondary is anything spectacular, nor is it anything what the Steelers have seen in the last handful of years when they played this team.
All right, Jenna, hot seat time. What is your final score prediction for the game?
I'm going 28-17 Steelers.
Whoa, I think close that, one.
It's going to be one of those garbage time touchdowns. I think it'll be 28-10 for the majority, or at least like the majority of the third quarter kind of thing, late into the fourth. The storylines, I know, I think this is obviously a different team, but Ben doesn't have a ton of success against the Jags. Now, I'm not saying he can't. For all I know, he's going to come in and throw 5 touchdowns and have a performance like he did last week. That, you know, we're going to see him do great things, but I think this is going to be a little bit closer. This has a little bit of that feel, like I said, of Dallas to me. So I think it's going to be a little bit closer than Steelers fans would like it to be. So I'm playing it safe with that, but I mean, you know, they could go off and just the offense could have itself a day. Each receiver could, you know, find the end zone a couple times and we'll be talking some really good things.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that the Steelers offense can have a day for itself. I'm going to spread it out a little bit more. Not 2017. I think the Steelers handled business. I'm going 31-13.
Okay.
Here's my different takes on it. I think it's going to be – you're going to see Ben Roethlisberger – I'm not going to say he's going to throw 3 touchdowns, but he's going to lead 3 touchdown drives where a different guy is going to score. It might be James Conner, but I think you're going to see the full complement of this offense come through in this game. And that fourth touchdown – going to come for the defense. I think that they get a pick six, a sack fumble that gets returned for a touchdown. I think something along the lines, the defense creates a splash play. You might even see a special teams play in here, but I just sense, because Raven McLeod's been really close a few times this year. I feel like that's coming, Jenna.
I was going to say, I have a feeling too, we're going to see something big from Ray Ray, a punt return or a kick return or something. I think we can definitely see that. I like the special teams touchdown. Yeah, I'm throwing that in there.
Yeah, so that's our score. She has 20-17. I have 31-13.
Your 28. Pick. Sorry, 28-17.
Oh. That's why I was like, that's really close. But 28-17. Okay.
Yes.
That makes
sorry.
More sense. No.
Sorry.
But that adds up with what you're saying, because I'm like, you said it's going to be a field goal, but not. I have bad ears.
Okay.
But no, Jenna. So we both have this being a multi-score game difference for the Steelers. 28-17 and 31-13. Those are our picks. Jenna, we made it to the end of the week. Thanks so much for always coming on the show. We always appreciate having you here. Please let people know where they can find you and more of your work.
Well, thank you for having me as always. It's always so much fun to do these. You can follow me on Twitter at JennaHarner11. There's a wonderful thread of puppy pictures going. So if you want to add your adorable pup or a pup you know to that picture, to that thread, I would love nothing more. And you can follow me on Instagram at Jenna_Harner. And catch me and the rest of the WPXI sports team, Al the Oxenwriter, on Channel 11. Weekdays at 6, 10, and 11, as well as the Black and Gold Zone on Sunday nights. So for all your Steelers post-game recap, sound, highlights, all that, you can tune in after Sunday Night Football on Channel 11.
Absolutely. Do check out everything Jenna's doing at Channel 11. I'll also be on The Final Word on Channel 11 this Sunday after the game. So it's going to be fun, Jenna. We're going to have a good time on WPXI. You guys can follow me at Carter Critiques on Twitter. If you follow me, I'll follow you back. You can also find me at dkpittsburghsports.com, where I cover Pitt's football and basketball team as well as the Pittsburgh Steelers. So you'll get all my work there. Again, you can subscribe for $4.99 a month or $39.99 a year. You get covers on the Steelers, Pirates, Penguins, anywhere. And we also have Pitt, Penn State, Duquesne, all of that available to you on that website. Also, don't forget, subscribe to the Locked On Steelers podcast. We're on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere podcasts are hosted. Please leave us a 5-star review. That really helps us out and gets us the word out there what we're doing. Also helps us in the rankings. And if you leave a 5-star review with a positive comment in Apple Podcasts, you will get a shout-out. Like this person today, SteelerDan79 gives us a 5-star review that says, rocks, with an exclamation point. And he says, great show. Keep up the good work. You always say what's on every fan's mind. Way to represent. Go Steelers. SteelerDan79, thank you for your support and your 5-star review. We have a few others that will get here later in the week. I'm trying to do one a day, so we can spread it out, give each of you your individual love. We got another one coming out on Monday for another 5-star review. Thanks so much. Even if you've left a 5-star review before, the more the merrier. We always appreciate it here, and it does help out the show. Thanks again for all those who've done that. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be watching the Steelers on Sunday, and I'll be back in your ears Monday morning recapping the game and talking about what happened. Be back in your ears on Monday.